straight out of Austin, Texas. It's On Second Thought, powered by Hook'em.com, with your hosts, Statesman sports columnists Cedric Golden and Kirk Bowles. Often imitated, never duplicated. Hear it here first, On Second Thought.
You heard the lady on Second Thought, episode 147, brought to you by Hook'em.com, our good friends over at Bud Light. My name is Cedric Golden. I'm joined by the Duck, Kirk Bowles. And on today's podcast, we're going to talk a little fantasy football with Caterino Vasquez and have our little remembrances of one Cedric Benson. But first, Duck, let's get to the 40 acres. Tommy Herman named of his five captains for the year, and these were voted on by the players, right, Duck?
I think that is correct, and they went with four seniors and the junior.
Name them. Don't keep us in suspense.
Well, the junior, we all know, is Sam Ehlinger, the
man,
heart and soul of this team. And the other four are all seniors, which is the way you want it. You got Zach Shackelford at center, although he's been banged up a little bit. You got Brandon Jones at safety, and you have Colin Johnson, the go-to receiver for Sam Ehlinger, and Malcolm Roach over at defensive end, expected to be the premier pass rusher for this team.
Those are some high-character guys. That's the first thing I'll say about them. You look at them, and those are guys who are accountable and very intense guys. Let's start at the top of the food chain with Sam Ehlinger, since he is the alpha dog on this team, the quarterback. I think we're going to get more of the same from Sam, but I worry, will they keep Sam upright? Sam Ehlinger is not, he doesn't have a problem with the expectations that come with being the quarterback at Texas. The question is he going to try to do too much? And if he does, are we going to be talking about Casey Thompson? God, I hope not.
Yeah, I mean, truly, to me, as Sam goes, Texas goes. He's just that big a figure. And I'm trying to remember. I wrote this a week or two ago that I can't remember a season when they relied on a quarterback this much. And, of course, naturally, some of the naysayers said, Vince Young, please. And Vince Young was a great, great talent, but he was surrounded by talent. He was surrounded, if you will, by Vince Young talent. Will you agree with me on that?
Oh, yeah.
With all the players that went to the NFL?
Yeah, three dozen or so players that ended up in the league. Michael Griffin, Aaron Ross, Terrell Brown, Selvin Young, Jamal Charles.
And we don't know that with this Texas team,
do we? And then I've got an offensive line story coming up this week, and I mentioned names like Justin Blaylock, Casey Stuttered, Lyle Sinline, Tony Hills. Those guys all ended up in the league.
Yeah.
So, all of them. And Vince Young was surrounded by NFL talent.
Surrounded by NFL talent.
A great player surrounded by other great players. And, that adds up to championships.
Let me ask you this question then. To carry that theme forward, how many first-round NFL players are on this starting 22 for Texas? Right now, how many would you say have a good chance to go in the first round?
I don't think Colin Johnson's a first-round pick. I like him. I think he's a big body who can run. He's faster than Little Jordan.
So how many?
But how many? I don't think Sam's a first-round pick.
No.
I don't think Colin. I don't think Brandon Jones is going to be a senior. He hasn't put up his best year yet. Can he sneak into the first round? I would have to say no. Caden Stearns struggled. Eventually, I think he'll play in the league. He's got some Earl Thomas-type tendencies, which is a good thing, but he's got to keep going forward. I look across the front line. Man, good players. I don't see great players. If Jordan Whittington is as good as advertised, that people love big backs, but we're talking at least three seasons down the road before we can even talk about NFL. So, first-round picks, and running backs don't go in the first round that much anymore. So, first-round picks right now, I would have to say no.
And I would agree with you. I don't think they have that elite talent that you can say, oh, the scouts are just salivating over these guys. You mentioned Brandon Jones, who we both like, and Caden Stearns as well. Terrific talents, but they're safeties. You know, how many safeties go in the first round, you know, traditionally speaking? You know, I think Sam is going to be a a draftee. If you had to guess right now, I'd say Sam's probably looking at a second or third round.
That's what I'm thinking. I think I think if he shows it more improvement over these next 2 years in throwing the football, Sam has the intangibles and the intelligence and the requisite toughness that it takes to play that position. So I think he translates to the league. Arm talent, we need to see more development on arm talent if he's going to be in the NFL. We saw Drew Brees, and he could make all the throws, Duck, from high school to college. Sam's taken a nice step up, 25 touchdown passes last season. I think he's on the upward arc and that he can be a second or third round pick. Hey, Daniel Jones went fifth overall to the New York Giants. I was shocked at that.
Yeah, and it's more about prototype than production. And, you know, in theory, you know, when Baker Mayfield said, it blows my mind how so a team like the Giants would take him that high.
Why is Baker talking about stuff like
Baker
that?
Because Baker has to be Baker.
What does he get out of that? I mean, it's not a good look. I mean, he picks a fight with Sam Ehlinger in the media, and now he's ripping into what Daniel Jones says, is drafted, and then he says his quotes were taken out of context. You know what? If you don't want to be quote-unquote taken out of context, then stop speaking out on controversial issues where things are going to come back to get you. Like saying, for instance, when you planted the flag in Columbus and we said they made you apologize and your sincerity was a zero. I mean, those are the kind of things that have to make the Cleveland Browns go, who is this guy leading us?
See, that's his hubris. That's ego. That's Baker, you know.
Got to be bigger than that.
Being Baker. And I think he gets so caught up in being Baker, and he's the cover boy on GQ magazine, and it's just heady stuff. And it's like, you are the talk of the NFL, even more than Pat Mahomes, who is very quiet. You could say dull almost, who does it on the field. And I think really Baker is doing himself a disservice. I think he's kind of breeding resentment around the league. I think defensive players can't wait to, you know, just really get after him. And I think in 5 years, this won't be the Baker we'll see, assuming he survives that long. You don't see Tom Brady doing this. You don't see Drew Brees.
Nope.
You didn't see Peyton Manning. They don't take shots, especially, you know, at other quarterbacks. That's kind of a fraternity where it's kind of unspoken that you know how hard the job is. So, yeah, it's very unfortunate, and you know, but back to Sam.
Well, hold on before back to Sam.
Okay.
I know there are people out there that'll go, well, you know, those guys are old and those guys are in the league for many, many years. Those guys would never do that in their first or second
season. They never did
either. Those guys were quiet. They stuck to the work and they didn't make headlines off the field. They made headlines on Sunday afternoon. So
the quarterbacks that make the news off the field are the Kaepernick's, which is a whole nother issue, as we know, and the Baker Mayfields and the Johnny Manziels and the people like that. You're better off just keeping your mouth shut, doing your work, and building the trust in your own locker room and among your teammates, as well as in the league.
Yeah, and so getting back to Sam, one of the guys that's going to be really, really dependent on is Jordan Whittington. But Zach Shackleford, I mean, we talk about a running back, but Zach Shackleford, the center, is banged up a little bit. And I talked to him last week, and he feels good, and he thinks he's going to be ready. But that offensive line, Duck, I think that's going to be the most watched unit of the early season because Sam Ehlinger is such a valued asset, and they just got to keep him upright. Do you think that Tom has enough depth at his disposal, along with Coach Herb Hand, to get through a season and to keep Sam upright and to also open holes up for those good young running backs?
Well, two thoughts. You're not going to stop Sam from being Sam, and he's going to run, and he's going to be physical, and he's going to not go down when he knows he should go down. So you have that issue. The second issue is I'm not sure, you know, unless you're in Alabama, when you can just – I forget what Nick said about – just creating another great player when the other one goes down. That's a family podcast. But you know, I don't think many teams have that kind of depth in the offensive line. So, no, the offensive line depth does worry me. You want to get to that point where you've got a solid second-team line on offense and defense, and I don't think Texas is there yet.
The one captain that gets my attention over the others, Malcolm Roach. That was a respect appointment. He has the respect in the locker room. He's well thought of. He's a well-spoken young man, very respectful. Malcolm hasn't brought it yet at Texas, and they need a Charles Omenihu-type performance from Malcolm Roach or another pass rusher for this defense to take off and fly. Is Malcolm Roach ready to settle into that role? Is he good enough to get you 10 or 11 sacks? And more important, Duck, can he stay healthy to give this team a proven pass rusher, a guy that other teams are going to have to worry about? Is that in his DNA? Do you see that happening?
Not in terms of 10 or 11 sacks, I don't.
What's a good year for Malcolm Roach?
Well, since he had zero sacks last year, I know he missed five games with that broken foot. But I don't know how many people go from zero sacks to 10 or 11. I think Omenihu had 9.5, but he'd been playing the position and didn't have the health concerns. I think if you get 6 sacks from Roach, you will take that. That'd be a playmaker. And I think you're going to have, B.J. Foster and people like that that are doing a lot of the blitzing. Jalen Green, Anthony Cook, Kobe Boyce, and those players. So I don't think it's going to come from one player like Omenihu did last year. But I think making him captain, like you said, is a sign of respect, but more it's a challenge to Malcolm Roach. You're a senior now. If you want to have a career in football and you want to make this a special season, you've got to bring it. He had 24 tackles last year. And like I said, he missed a lot of games. But the expectations on Malcolm Roach are very high, and it's time for him. And I'd put Jeffrey McCullough in that same category. He's another senior. He's got the prototype build. Jeff, 6'3", what is he, 250? I think it's time for those two, probably as much as anybody on the defense, to shine if they're going to have careers that are memorable here.
What about Brandon Jones on the back, off to injured, off-season surgery on his leg? Excited to be back. We talked to him in Dallas. He came into this team as the number one safety in all of high school football in America, out of Nacogdoches. Hasn't put together any great seasons yet. This is it. He wants to play in the NFL. Is he gonna give them that kind of a presence that an Earl Thomas gave them back in the heyday, or even who's the guy that dropped the ball?
Blake Gideon.
Blake Gideon. The one thing about Blake Gideon, he's pretty steady back there, and he took some bad angles, but he didn't miss a lot of tackles. But they could depend on Blake. Can he give them somewhere in between Blake Gideon and Earl Thomas? Because if he can, they're going
to
be good.
He better be a whole lot closer to Earl Thomas.
Why are you hating on Blake Gideon?
I'm just Blake. Love Blake Gideon. He was. He started every game, but I wouldn't say he was reliable in terms of this guy is going to have 12 tackles and, jar and tackles and cause some fumbles. And, he was a very solid workman-like guy, but he was never close to approaching a star.
Can Brandon be a star?
He can be, but he's a senior now. And even though he led him in tackles, he had 70. He's the leading tackler returning to this team. And expectations are going to be high, but, nobody's putting him in the Grant Delpit company, the LSU guy who's, is now switched to number 7 wearing Patrick Peterson, Tyrann Mathieu, Honey Badger's number, and we'll see him up close in week 2. So, and that'll be good. That'll be good to watch, Stearns and Jones and Delpit in that game because, Delpit's the premier safety, and we'll see how he stacks up against him. So, Brandon Jones is right up there with McCulloch and Roach, and even more expectations and came in with a bigger billing than those other two. So, you're the number one safety in the nation. Let's see if he can play like it and hopefully stay healthy.
All right, Duck, and before we get to Cedric Benson, Jalen Hurts named the starter at Oklahoma. Worst kept secret ever.
Yes.
Lincoln Riley didn't bring Hurts in to sit behind anybody. What do you think Jalen Hurts is going to give the Sooners? I think he's bringing credibility. He's bringing a winning attitude. And I think he's going to throw the ball better than he ever did in Tuscaloosa.
Well, he's going to have to. You know, he's a running quarterback who throws some. You know, Kyler Murray was a running quarterback who could throw spectacularly well enough that he was the first pick of the draft. So, you know, nobody ever said Jalen Hurts is going to be the first pick of the draft and probably not a first rounder. You know, if I had to guess right now, just off the top of my head, you know, Jalen Hurts will get drafted. He is a big body, but, you know, he might be a fourth-round draft pick. You know, he ran for almost 2,000 yards, and he lost his starting job to Tua, but he helped Alabama win a national championship. So, you know, he's been a marquee player on the biggest stage in college football. So I think he'll fit in fine. I think what's problematic is that line up front isn't the same that blocked for Kyler Murray. You got one returning starter at center, Creed Humphrey. All the other four are brand new. I don't know if any of the other four have even started a game, nor does he have Marquise Hollywood Brown, the deep threat receiver. He's got C.D. Lamb and Calcaterra, the tight end, and those are really good weapons, and they have very good running backs. But I don't think – I'll say this. I don't expect him to see him in New York in the company of the Heisman front runners. But I think you'll be good.
On Second Thought.
Duck, that was Cedric Benson in his heyday, scoring a touchdown for the University of Texas Longhorns. Arguably the third best running back to come through here behind Earl Campbell and Ricky Williams. Passed away suddenly at 36, motorcycle accident. Huge loss for the Longhorn Nation, but we both rode it, and we both knew Cedric well. He lived in the fast lane. It cost him, but he went on his own terms.
He did, and, you know, you could say he lived his life his way, and he did, but he didn't live it as long as we would like for him to live. And, you know, whether the toxicology report, what it shows, we don't know. But, you know, if there was recklessness involved, it's just a shame, because, you know, it also cost the life of this 27-year-old young lady who had her PhD from UT. And
beautiful young woman.
Had plenty to live for as well. So with the regrets are just, you know, magnified then with the loss of two young people so unnecessarily. So, you know, you don't want that to be lost in all the tributes to Cedric as a good guy and a heck of a running back and a great athlete at Texas. The overarching story has to be the unnecessary loss of two young people. And that's what I hope resonates with other, you know, young people in their teens and 20s and everybody really.
Their 30s.
To be careful. Don't take unnecessary risk. And life is just too precious. And, you know, Sid B's funeral and memorial are coming up this Saturday. And I'm sure there's going to be some heartfelt eulogies. And he's going to be well missed. And it's just a sad week all around.
It really is. And when you look at the body of work, it speaks for itself. 5,500 yards rushing, four straight 1,000-yard seasons, and quiet as is kept, three 1,000-yard seasons in the league, maybe four. I need to check my math on that. But his off-the-field decision-making, I think, cut his career short. It limited him and his availability to some teams. After three straight 1,000-yard seasons with the Bengals, he was arrested twice in the offseason, and Marvin Lewis decided that, you know what, we're going to move on from Cedric. And I talked to him about that, and Cedric was really devastated by that, that he figured he had found a home in Cincinnati. So will, it's part of his narrative. His decision making off the field will always be part of his story. His honesty and his candor in interviews will always resonate with me. If you wanted to hear what Cedric Benson thought about something, all you had to do was ask him. He was not politically correct. He was a straight shooter. We like that in our business. And I admired him for his honesty. They programmed them to give certain answers to certain questions, and Cedric never aspired to do that. He was his own man. Gone too soon. Definitely gonna miss him, Duck.
36 years old, gone too soon.
On Second Thought.
Duck, this is my favorite time of year, football season, and our very own Cat Vasquez, the Statesman's Fantasy League guru, joins us in the dungeon to talk Fantasy League football. And before we get started with Catarino, a little bit of house cleaning. In 2018, the Las Vegas Derelicts,
yeah,
owned by Cedric Golden and Tom Doerr, not only dominated the FC Gatos and the Sitting Ducks, but they also captured their very first Office Fantasy League title.
Hey, am I allowed to talk here? Is this the Cedric Golden podcast?
Golden Hour.
My moment. How, Cat, we've been doing this
you
for
two
or
before
three
you
years.
Cat, this
Hold
used,
on.
This used to be my favorite time of the year, too.
Yes.
You know, this has been the longest off season of my life.
Why?
Sitting next to you.
I don't
clutching
gloat.
Your trophy.
I don't gloat.
You don't know how many times I've thrown up in the wastebasket next to you. It's just like, and it's such a pleasure to move on to 2019. So
no, but how many times have I told you guys I was coming after you only to fail miserably?
Every year.
But this time I said I was coming after you. I went after you guys, and I captured a championship.
Well, hopefully this will be my favorite time of the year again, hopefully. So
Kyle Rudolph was not a fluke, catching 15 passes for 275 yards. That was not a fluke.
Yeah, all touchdowns.
That was meant to be.
All touchdowns. Okay, well, let's move on. Catarino.
Hey, guys, what's up, man?
Man, it's good to have you in the house here.
So, for sure.
So you've started your preparation. When do you start? How much work research do you put into this?
How much research? I can't count the hours, but...
When do you start? Do you start before training camp?
Oh, for sure. You gotta look at the draft. You got to see what happens in the rookie draft. You got to see free agency. You know, it's all happening. People are moving different places. You got to keep up with that stuff for sure. And then when training camp hits, then you get to actually watch things happen on a field. Even though it's practice, you get hear all the hype. And
we talking about practice.
You get to see through some of that sometimes, though. So
you watch the preseason football?
Oh, for sure. You got to watch it. That's how I picked up on David Johnson a few years ago.
Yeah.
Actually, yeah, watching college tape, too. That was nice.
Right. Well, start us off, Sid. What do you got out of the box?
It's hard being at the top, and I understand. Tom Brady, I kind of get what he's going through now. But
2019
New draft. Year. Shout out to Tom Doerr, my co-owner.
Oh my God.
All right, here we go.
Please.
Since we're in Austin, the best city in Texas,
the country,
Austin is known for three NFL quarterbacks: Drew Brees, Nick Foles, and one Baker Mayfield. We know we're going to get from Drew Brees. Nick Foles in Jacksonville, that's an interesting story. But Baker Mayfield with those weapons, with Odell Beckham, Juice Landry, Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt, if he can keep his hands off of a woman, all of those guys are going to be in the same lineup. Is Baker Mayfield the next great fantasy league quarterback?
That's very possible. I mean, you got to believe the hype at this point. But one thing I like to do when I'm looking at a draft or auction, a guy like Baker is going to be overvalued no matter what you're dealing with, a draft or auction, because he's just such, you know, he's an outspoken guy. He's, you know, he's a lot of fun to watch too, and he could get the job done. But there's going to be somebody in your league that's going to want him really bad, and you got to figure whether or not it's worth it for you to go head-to-head with that person,
mm-hmm,
rather than get more value at other positions. But, I'm pretty sure he'll be at least top six quarterbacks for me.
So in a snake draft,
yeah,
I'm in a 14-team league outside of the OFL called Dereliction in East Texas.
Mm-hmm.
14 teams, snake draft, PPR. He's a fourth-round pick, right? You shouldn't reach on a guy
that's
like
high,
that.
That's high, isn't it?
That's very high.
Is that high for a quarterback?
I think if you're looking at I just looked at some average draft position rankings, and I think he was more maybe eighth round. I mean,
that's late. Right.
It's the quarterback position. So yeah. The thing about quarterback position you got to remember is you're only gonna, unless you're in a really big league, everybody should. That's not a big league. I mean, 32 teams is a huge league.
There's only half of those guys
are good quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
14 teams, everybody's gonna have a good
there are
quarterback.
Such things as 32 team leagues?
Really? I think there might be.
Wow.
There are.
Wow.
Yeah. One.
Man, so, you better do your research.
So
then.
Yeah. But yeah, so everybody should have a good quarterback. So that's why he would be as low as the eighth round, mm-hmm. because
right.
People are trying to fill up their rosters with receivers and running backs.
Well, I know we're still, 2 weeks out from the regular season start?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
So right now, your top five, if you had to just kind of, I know, you know, this is fluid and you can change it around before the start of the season, but who would be your top five straight draft players right now?
Straight draft right now, I would go stay with Saquon Barkley. He just can do everything. Eli can't throw very far, but he could reach Saquon's route tree.
Sure, dump it off to Saquon.
That's for sure. Uh-huh. After that, I do like Christian McCaffrey.
Because he
can do it all, and he's got a real shot. He almost did it last year. He's got a real shot at the 1,000-yard receiving, 1,000-yard rushing season.
Wow.
He was very close last year.
Wow.
After that, it's kind of tough because I do like Elliott, but his situation right now is...
Yeah.
You don't like it.
Today, would
but
he be
today,
your top five?
Today, he would...
You'd be number three?
No. Today, Kamara would be number three for me.
Alvin Kamara.
Yeah.
The Saints.
Good yes,
pick.
For sure.
Good
and
pick.
With a lot of leagues going to PPR and half PPR,
right.
I kind of base my rankings on half PPR right now just to split the difference.
Know. That's our league, right?
And so fourth, we're at four, right?
Right.
I would probably go with, I'm really having a tough time with this one right now, but it's either going to be, but you're going to make me choose. So
yes,
I will go ahead and choose DeAndre Hopkins over Devontae Adams. I really like Adams' situation just because I feel like Aaron Rodgers has the trust of Aaron Rodgers, and he's the most established receiver there. There are a couple of young guys that are pretty decent and that could step up, but in the end, Hopkins has the connection with Deshaun Watson. I feel like he's going to be healthy all year, and it's going to be they're going to have a nice push.
So you got Adams fifth.
Fifth, I don't have Adams. Okay. I have another running back. Fifth, I would go with
David.
Yeah, David Johnson. I think he's got that new offense. He's got Kyler Murray.
He's got Cliff Kingsbury,
got
who
Cliff
dumped
Kingsbury.
It off to the running backs.
He's got a bad line, too, though.
That's true. Yeah. That's
lots
true.
Of dump offs.
That's tough. It's going to be tough, but I think, personally, in a vacuum, I think David Johnson is probably the best running back in the NFL, but. He does have to play with, you know, that offensive line, so it's going to be mm-hmm. tough, but I do like him there. If I knew more about Zeke, or if I knew Zeke would be playing,
right.
He would be number five.
Right.
You know okay. what, Kat? The most intriguing quarterback in all of football is Patrick Mahomes.
Oh, for sure.
He's a rock star. 50 touchdown passes last year, threw for 5,000 yards. And I know that everybody has a good quarterback, but everybody doesn't have a quarterback that does that.
Correct.
Where you put a Patrick Mahomes? There's every league has a guy that's going to always take a quarterback in the first round, and we know it's going to be Patrick Mahomes. But where do you see him? Does he crack the top 10 overall in your viewpoint, or do you think he's going to be somewhere at the end of a first round of a 12 to 13 team league or somewhere in the second round?
You know what's interesting is that you just mentioned his 50 touchdown passes and all that. In average draft positions, he's going early third round.
Wow!
But you won't
go third round in my league.
Exactly. You know, there's always it. It just seems like there's always somebody that's going to reach, not reach, I mean, he's going to be worth it.
He looks like a sure thing.
Right, yeah. So he could definitely go in the first round. So if you want him in the first round, you're going to have to go ahead and go for him. I mean, this is all league dependent. This is all about the people that you don't play the cards, you play the person, you know.
Exactly.
So if you really want Mahomes, then you're going to have to go ahead and grab him early.
Right. Well, that raises a really good point, Sid and Kat, because, you know, because like you say, unless you're in a 32-team league, everybody should have a good quarterback. So what's the most loaded position out there where there's enough depth, maybe you don't have to panic and get somebody? Is it quarterback? Is it receiver? What would you say the best position is for a draft?
Well, that speaks to, like, a lot of I've been hearing about the zero quarterback philosophy a lot over the past couple of years, where I think I heard one stat. Please don't quote me on this, but I've heard last year that at least 40 quarterbacks, there's only 32 teams in the league, but 40, at least 40 quarterbacks had a QB1 week. That means they had the top 12 performance of that week.
Wow.
So that means some backups turned in. And
like a Nick Foles.
Correct.
You know.
Yeah, exactly.
Fitzmagic.
Nick Mullins, I think, had a couple of good games.
Josh Allen was a backup.
Josh Allen ran
for 100 Darnold. Yards. In a game.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, you're right.
So that position can be used on a week-by-week basis. You can you can find the matchup that works that week. And that just helps you load up on running backs and receivers.
Right.
When somebody's reaching for the Pat Mahomes in the first round, you're picking somebody David Johnson or Zeke Elliott instead. So, I mean, and those are positions where you need more than just
more
one,
volume.
Unless you're in like
exactly.
a super league where they have two quarterbacks.
Right.
You mentioned Zeke Elliott.
Mm-hmm.
How do you look at these holdouts? As of this recording on Wednesday, Ezekiel Elliott has not signed. Melvin Gordon has not signed. Those are big time running franchise running backs who have not been in training camp, and we all know someone who was burned by Le'Veon Bell last year.
Oh, do we? Is that person?
If Kevin Lytle's not listening, so we're going to talk about this. If Le'Veon Bell has a Le'Veon Bell type year, then I'm not sitting here gloating today because Kevin Lytle wins that league.
Yeah, because he had Pat Mahomes.
Really
too.
Good.
He did.
He had Mahomes. And so
that
he would
awesome.
Have blown away the competition.
Right.
Instead of struggling like he did. How do you view these holdouts, and how much do you think that's going to go into where they're drafted? Me personally, if I'm drafted a number 8 or 9 and Zeke Elliott is sitting there, I'm taking him.
You have to.
I don't think Le'Veon will happen again. Melvin Gordon, it sounds like they're way apart.
That's
in negotiations. But I think that Zeke Elliott will be in Dallas. But what are you thinking on that, Catarino?
I largely agree with you because I think you just have to be on top of those situations. And the prevailing thought for Elliott is that he will get there at some point, looking like before the season. But it could be, I mean, if he does hold out, people don't think it's going to be a long thing.
Mm-hmm.
With Gordon, it's a different situation because it seems like he's willing to do that. So you really have to, and he has dropped for me too. I couldn't tell you right now, but look out for the rankings on Saturday. You'll see him in the paper. But he's for sure has dropped for me because of this situation, because you can't depend on him right now.
And Gordon?
Gordon is who I'm talking about.
Right.
Gordon is the one who
I think Zeke's going to be.
I think Zeke is going to be.
And maybe sit
point.
Out a week, maybe but still worth it.
I think he's still, but I'm glad y'all bring that up, because if you are in the market for Elliott, you just got to remember, pick up Tony Pollard later.
Mm-hmm.
So
you're a handcuff guy.
Yeah, in this situation, there aren't that many true handcuffs anymore with running back by committee throughout the league.
I'm generally against handcuffs, and I'd like to get both of you guys' thoughts on that, because my thing is you're picking two guys that take up one spot, and they're never both of them going to be really good. So I've never really grasp why you want to hang. I'd rather have, Mark Ingram and Zeke Elliott rather than Zeke and Pollard, and they go back and forth. And so, give me your theory, both of you.
To me, a handcuff isn't both guys playing at once.
But they take up one, it takes two
a,
spots.
But
so.
I'd rather have a handcuff than a backup tight end.
At running back, I'd rather have Mark Ingram and Zeke, and if Zeke doesn't play, at least have Mark, than if I had Zeke and Tony where, you know, maybe they go back and forth.
But you're not taking Tony Pollard at the same time you're taking a Mark Ingram.
Not the same time, but it takes up a spot on your team. You don't have unlimited roster.
But if I'm taking up a spot in the 14th round, I don't care.
Exactly. That's
but like we get how many, 5 running backs in our league?
Mm-hmm.
I want to take up 2 spots with 1 Dallas Cowboy position is what I'm saying.
Oh, I would if I know that Zeke's not going to play. Now, when Zeke comes back, I get rid of Tony Pollard and pick up somebody
else. It is an insurance policy. I understand what you're saying where it takes up the extra spot. But the thing is, like Sed said, you're not using a lot of capital to take out that insurance policy. You're using one of your latest picks to do it. Would you rather pick up a handcuff or... You're not going to get a top talent that late.
True.
So
that's a good point.
So which
just backup, don't pick them early.
Which backup do you prefer? Right. One that's the backup to one of your players, or a backup to somebody else?
Give me a handcuff that's going to be starting.
Right.
Not a handcuff that's going to be splitting time.
Right.
So if Zeke, if I draft, you know, like in our auction league, if I get Tony Pollard for 20 cents or 30 cents or whatever,
don't try to set the market.
And Zeke comes back and signs, I'm going to get rid of Tony Pollard because he's no longer useful to me.
Right.
But remember last year, guys like Damian Williams, how about James Conner last year when Le'Veon never came back? And that guy's a handcuff.
Exactly.
Yeah. And he ends up going for over a G. So that's what I'm looking at. I think Tony Pollard in that offense can do really well.
But you know what? Kevin didn't take James Conner. He
didn't
have the handcuff. Yeah, Cat did.
I picked him.
So I guess Kevin didn't believe it either. So you're moving on from that to Antonio Brown. There's been a couple of headlines about him the last 6 weeks. What would you say his value is today?
Today, it's really dropping.
And you didn't mention him. And you did not mention him, Catarino.
Yeah, but it's true. He should not be – he's not a first-rounder right now. I bet
he goes in the first round of my draft.
He might.
Really?
He might.
I wouldn't take him. Would you in the first round?
He's practicing now. You know, he's happy with his helmet.
You know,
now.
A good, I don't know, is he even going to play a preseason game?
Probably not.
If you've seen those feet, he's not playing, though.
The hype could come back pretty quick, though, if he starts seeming like he's happy about what's going on.
Would either you two want him on your team?
I don't want him on my team right now.
Sed, how about you?
If I can get him at the end of the first round, and then
at
come
the end of the first round,
on the 14-team league, if I can get Antonio Brown,
that's
if I'm picking 13th or 14th and it's going to whip back to me, if I could get Antonio Brown and somebody like a maybe, you didn't mention Julio Jones. If I can get those
Julio
two guys,
there's nothing wrong with Julio.
Yeah.
If you were like picking,
he'd be
10,
the, he'd, he won't. He, I don't. I think he's still a first rounder.
Yeah, but in a 14-team league, if I'm picking 14th and there's a Julio out there, I think Devontae Adams, like you said, is going to go way higher.
I agree.
Michael Thomas, we haven't talked about. He's a first round type guy.
But wouldn't you take any of those three over AB?
I would go Julio over AB. I would go Michael Thomas over AB.
Juju.
I would go. I don't know.
I'd take Juju over.
I don't know. I don't know.
They throw
that's
deep.
Pretty close.
You know, he's got Washington on the other side.
I'm not sure, Doug.
Oakland just scares me, guys. I don't know about Josh Jacobs. I don't know about Derek Carr. You know,
I would be okay with Josh Jacobs maybe being one of my flex players.
Yeah.
But
not one of your early running backs.
Right, yeah.
He's going to go late first. Early second, I think. Antonio Brown.
He's not going to be one of my flex players. Then.
So,
if he's going that early.
And, you know, we do an auction league, and Antonio Brown's routinely $13, $14 on a $50 cap. I think he goes for less than $10 this year.
He might. I mean, yeah, I don't, you just can't. You need trustworthy guys on your team, and he's just not trustworthy right now. If it's not one thing, it's another with him, it seems like. So
go ahead.
There's all this, and the fact that it's still a team that's trying to come together. It's the Oakland Raiders with John Gruden and Derek Carr, who's
very flammable.
They're going to throw the football.
They are.
Someone's got to catch it.
That brings my next question to both of you. Who would you stay away from? Like, I do not want them on my team. Do either say it, Kat?
Just real quick. Guys like Marcus Mariota, Derek Henry, even though he was pretty exciting at one point, I just don't buy that hype.
I agree with you on both those.
Yeah.
Anybody for you, Sed?
Andrew Luck scares me.
Andrew Luck scares me too.
I did see him doing some leg drills, and he looked like he was moving pretty good. But Kirk, you told me something at lunch today that scared me.
What's that?
That he said that injury is still in his head.
Emotional scars.
He said he's still scarred.
That
from
makes
the injury.
Me nervous.
That makes me really, really nervous about Andrew Luck, even though the numbers were there. He's a guy. You know what? I might avoid the Juice Landry, Odell Beckham circus.
Really? That's interesting.
Yeah, because I think they may cancel one another out. Yeah.
What do you think, Ed? I like them both.
I don't agree with that.
I like them both.
I would definitely take one.
Yeah, you stay away from them in our draft, then, Sid, and Kat and I'll divide them up. Okay?
Yeah, whatever.
You know who I would stay away from, don't you, Sid?
Leonard Fournette.
Big Leonard Fournette. Yeah, he has screwed me 2 years in a row. Last year, he's either hurt or suspended or game time decision. And, you know, I know he's a supreme talent, but I just don't trust him. And I'm going to let somebody else either get the feast or famine with Fournette. What are your thoughts?
I texted Leonard last week.
Oh, what'd he say?
I told him, I said, man, if you just come over to the Derelicts.
Oh, wow.
A class organization. It's well run. God. There's no turmoil in the front office.
One
I'm going to tell you,
title.
That Bowles and Son thing, just it rubs me the wrong way. John Tyler Bowles, very distracted. He's got a beautiful wife and a newborn baby, Brewer.
Oh,
he's not
goodness.
Thinking about fantasy football. The Sitting Ducks are going down. It's going to be bad.
I hope you get Fournette, Sid. I hope you get
might.
I want to see it. How do you feel about him? He's been a real mercurial player.
It's also the offense might change a bit. I mean, they just did not trust Blake Bortles to
who
throw
did?
The ball.
Who did?
So now they got Nick Foles, who's a little more trustworthy passer. You know,
that
Super
should
Bowl
help
MVP.
Fournette, right?
You would think, but if they end up going away from the running game, then no. But
I don't think they will. I mean,
you know,
I think they'll still run.
Even,
don't you
say
it?
Pretty
I mean,
well.
They're gonna run the football.
I think
you
that's gonna
to.
Be a 65-35 run pass.
I think Fournette's gonna bounce back and have a good year.
He's capable. I'm sure he'll screw me again when I don't have him. So
you don't want to
no.
Last, him on your team?
Last one for me, Catarino.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's talk defenses. Give me your top two or three defenses. I had the Bears last year, and they were spectacular.
Yeah, who's your top five?
With Khalil Mack running the show. Where do you look at it from these other defenses?
I like for sure. I like the Bears too. It's kind of weird, but I like the Cowboys defense.
They got some playmakers.
I do too.
Yeah, they do. They
I like
for
it.
Sure. They just signed Jalen Smith to a long deal.
Right.
Tank tremendous. Lawrence has got his money.
Tank's in the camp. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Vanderish. I like it.
What are the Rams for sure?
Right.
They're gonna have a good
and Aaron
defense.
Donald.
Again. Yeah.
Jacksonville
see.
In there.
They're close to that five.
They took
six,
a step
third.
Back
yeah,
in the last
so.
Year.
Yeah, kind of like how the Broncos did a couple years
yeah.
ago.
What
they
about the Broncos? Back. I saw them against Jimmy G the other night, and they terrorized Jimmy G.
That's true. Maybe.
Chubb and
that Chubb.
Von Miller
that's
off
a duo.
Either side is a scary, scary thing. If
like
you got
it.
If sacks are a big stat in your league, those guys are going to get a lot of sacks.
Yeah.
Houston?
For sure. Houston's good. I think the Vikings are probably still around that
yeah.
in that top five area.
I agree.
That's one of the positions I like to definitely look at. Who the quarterback they're facing is next
sure.
week. Yeah, I like playing the matchups with
yeah.
defenses
yeah.
a lot.
Okay, one thing we haven't talked about, sleepers. Any sleepers, dark horses you've seen in preseason, either a rookie or maybe a second-year guy ready to break out? Who are
there's,
two or three sleepers
there's
you
There's a
got?
Couple guys I've seen. I've seen Miles Sanders with the Eagles.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think Jordan Howard really took a step back last season, and now he's you know, in a not a good situation with the Eagles with all that talent there or all the mm-hmm. bodies there. But Sanders could
Sproles
really emerge
came
from
back.
There.
Sproles yeah. is back with the Eagles.
I know, yeah. Everybody wants to play running
and
back for the Eagles.
And he believes in a committee, so but I like Miles Sanders.
Yeah. Another one could be Devin Singletary for Buffalo with McCoy not really being his old self. He could break out. Somebody because I'm not sold totally on Damian Williams, I think Darwin Thompson has a shot to do something with the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
But again, these are guys that are probably going to be almost free in drafts. So, like, if you want to take shots on them,
might be a big gamble. Be good.
Another one more guy who's a veteran actually, but could fill a role that could fill the Mark Ingram role. Yeah. Latavius Murray in New Orleans could end up doing some things for the Saints. And it wouldn't, like I said, it wouldn't cost you much to get a guy like that. So you want some value on your team. Then
what about tight end? You got Noah Fant, Jay Sternberger, the Packers, the ex-Aggie. Anybody at tight end jumps out at you?
Nothing really jumps out in terms of tight ends. It's more a position where after you've reached the top four or so, it's not really going to be a difference. Mm-hmm. But something I do want to mention is Darren Waller for Oakland. I know I said I would only want one player from Oakland.
Yeah.
But with Jared Cook gone and Darren Waller's a huge guy, a huge target, he could possibly be one of those stringer type players you could pick up if you get somebody on a bye. Another guy who's, we're talking post hype, who won't be expensive, Jordan Reed with the Redskins.
Mm-hmm. He's still around.
He always gets hurt. But again, like I said, we were talking about a matchup based type player.
Yeah.
He's actually not matchup based. If he's healthy, then you're going to want to play him because, like I said, he's going to be cheap and you're going to be having all your stud receivers and running backs because you didn't waste a pick on George Kittle or Zach Ertz or Travis Kelce early on.
And last question for me, anybody who's a star out there that maybe this is time they may drop off a cliff. They may be like, a Larry Fitzgerald or A.J. Green's hurt now. I already hurt his ankle. Anybody that you said, I think the beginning of the end for
Fantasy League-wise, I would go Tom Brady. I think he's
I think you're right. You may be right. Yeah.
He got Josh Gordon back, though.
Yeah.
For how long, Kat?
And Ben Watson and Andrew Beck, right? Julian Edelman. So anybody you can think of, Kat, that's a big name. They're just going to falling off the truck.
That's tough.
How about Joe Flacco in Denver?
He never did it for me to begin with.
He's already dropped off your truck.
For fantasy, in terms of fantasy.
How about Russell Wilson?
Russell Wilson, that is a good one. That he's not going to fall off the face of the earth, but with how much they like to run, and that lets me think about, just mention Chris Carson, who I think would be good value for
your boy Doug Baldwin retired abruptly.
Yes, true, that's true.
So Chris Carson's a good, huh?
Yeah, I think he's going to be pretty good. I mean,
that may be my keeper.
Yeah, sure. Really.
And he's the number one RB.
Yeah, for sure.
And I know they got Rashad Penny behind him.
But. And they're committed to running, too, and that also talks is going to affect Wilson. So, and I think he's going to fall off a little. Something I just heard about him was that he had a really career high touchdown efficiency throwing percentage of passes that he threw
for Wilson.
Wilson last year was well above his average, so he's definitely going to regress.
He's very solid. And Jared Cook, is he at Saints now?
Yes.
So he and Drew Brees might be a hookup. Maybe he's the Eric Ebron of 2019. Is Ebron going to fall off? What do you have, like 10 touchdowns, something like that?
You would think he wouldn't have to.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just because it's unexpected and it was a high and
hard to sustain.
So, you can't sustain that.
And any final words of advice if you're having your draft coming up this weekend?
Like I am. The dereliction draft Sunday in Tyler.
Go use the bathroom.
See you tickets or
talking privately to Kat. Any final advice for fantasy owners?
I would just always try not, as best as you can, try not to reach for talent. There's a lot of depth. There's a lot of value to be had. One thing you can do is check average draft positions and see where players are going. And if it's too high of a price for you, then just mark that guy as a do not draft person. And also, if you see a guy who's well late in the rounds, but you like him a lot, don't be afraid to pick him a little bit early, just because you know he's better than where he's going. So
your rankings come out this Saturday.
This Saturday in print. Yeah, we should be online on Friday though.
Yeah. That's great. Great stuff.
And you can follow him at give him the Twitter. It's AAS _ Kat on Twitter.
Kat with a C.
Skit. Kat with a C. Yeah.
Love it.
Just like Kat Osterman.
Good stuff, man.
Well, Kat, man, we appreciate it. We'll do it again around late season when most of us will be going to the playoffs. Maybe not me, because I've never been that good in this league, but I'm bringing a little bit of swag this year.
Oh yeah, for sure.
And
a little bit.
You know, I can't cut this off without saying, coming after you both in 2019.
Give me a break.
Every year.
Thanks, Kat.
All right, thanks.
On Second Thought.
That'll do it for episode 147 of On Second Thought. We got to thank our stat, our fantasy league guru, Katarino Vasquez, for joining us. For the Duck Kirk Bowles, I'm Cedric Golden. We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to On Second Thought, powered by Hook'em.com. Join Sed and Kirk every Thursday at lunch for a new episode. Archived episodes are available on iTunes and Google Android Play.